Amen. We're going to baptize tonight. We had to make a decision there. We're going to baptize tonight. My son Sam also wanted to get baptized. We've been going round and round. It's a challenge with kids that are in church all the time and hear everything. And we'll make sure they understand all these things and not get baptized because the water's warm and it looks like a swimming pool. But anyhow, we're gonna do it tonight. And so we'll do that before potluck tonight. Super excited to have Brother Israel Warren with us and have him preach to us. Men, anybody's eyes opened up a little bit about what it looks like out there? And wow. Makes me want to go. There's a Go West young man that's in Brother Garner, and they don't even stop it. It's the boom gut. I keep going. The eastern part of Russia is the untouched Alaska of the olden days. In my mind, that's what every time I look at it, I look at the pictures, I look at this stuff, I'm like, oh my soul. I wouldn't understand a word they say because I can't. And I follow some. Isn't it, the internet and stuff is just nuts. You can get on like an Instagram and get on and follow some guy or some group or somewhere. They're out there doing this thing. I don't know a word they're saying. Then you hit the I was like, oh, it's easy, Brother Keith. There's a translate button under there. And you hit the translate. I follow some people in Japan and stuff. You hit translate, and it's like the same goofy sentence over and over again. It doesn't make any sense, you know. That doesn't help me much. But you look and see how they live and how they just, those are just people. Just people. They just talk different. Got a different culture. So what's missions? Just people. It's just people. You're willing to go and learn those things. And anytime we get people out and just learn about it, even just our state, how we... we're such a diverse state. It's just unbelievable. People are super intrigued by it. And excited this summer to have a lot of people come up from out of state and see Alaska. And a lot of young people. And then, man, we need help. God, I mean, He's doing a work in Alaska. We need help here. And hopefully be an influence to them. We're in Matthew chapter 5. We're in the tail end of chapter 5. We're going to be starting in verse number 40 this morning. We're going through the Sermon on the Mount here, and we're working on the disciples. These are the men that were called of God to learn the teachings of Jesus. He's teaching them himself. He doesn't have it subbed out to anybody else. He is teaching them, and he is showing them what it means. He is the difference. If you just say, "Well, what's the difference between maybe?" And it's not so. Like clear cut and say, well, it's the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. When Jesus comes, he just goes straight to the heart of man. He just like goes straight in. I don't care what your outside looks like. I don't care what you've done in the past. I don't care what your family name is. I don't care about any of that stuff. All the way to the heart. And so here in the Sermon on the Mount, he keeps saying a very familiar phrase. You have heard that it had been said of old time. You've heard this said before. You've been taught this before. Because some of them say, oh yeah, I know that. I've been taught that. Right? He said, you've heard this. But I say, if you heard it said before, it's here. And Jesus stops back here somewhere. It's always somewhere farther on down the road. He's just getting at the heart of the matter. And Jesus needed disciples. And he knew. He knew. If he didn't get these men's hearts, would they carry the message on? And it goes for everybody, men, women, I mean, everybody. But if he doesn't get their hearts, is it going to go on? So today we'll cover the part of the Second Mile Christian. We're not going to preach a Second Mile Christian message. We're not going to do that. But the whole idea is he's getting at the hearts. One of our young people has texted me this week. Is interested about discipleship and had questions about it. Said, what is, you're challenged by it. I'm going to ask you a few questions. What is a disciple? What even is one? And then, why are they even necessary? You got Christians, and they have Christians that are their disciples. And if you don't think there's a difference, I've said, read the Bible. Read the Bible. And that don't even make just because you're a disciple, you're a good disciple. There are people that are disciples that say, I'm done, and walked away from the Lord. And said, I'm done following. And he's after our hearts. He's after our hearts. Our brothers will talk about it a little bit in Sunday school. Men talked about it up at camp. Makes you vulnerable when you stick your heart out there. Because that gives somebody has the ability to smash on it, right? And we can get hurt. We can be like, I'm never doing that again. I'm just going to. It's going to be impossible to win the people. Even last week when we were talking about resist not evil, how can you win those people if you don't make yourself vulnerable to them in the sense that you're going to love them? It's not going to be done in the flesh for sure. Verse 40, Matthew chapter number 5. If any man will sue thee at the law, take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And he saw it 39, but I say unto you that you resist not evil. Whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. You only got two, right? But you can keep going. I mean, you can turn the other cheek. I don't know about these guys that do these slapping contests. You see these weird contests where they, you know, and you're not trying to, well, I don't know what they're trying to do, but anyway, it's like, who's a man? I guess you slap a guy, he's awake still, and the other guy gets a chance. I just, man alive, not that, right? It's not that. It's you're taking the abuses of these people. Well, who did that? The Lord did. He said, I give myself. Oh, because they're going to love you. No, they're going to abuse you, right? They're going to abuse you. But that's what he asks. That's what he asked. We are made to be conformed into the image of his son. Jesus didn't come to conform to our worldliness. The other way around, right? We're to conform to his image. Somebody say, you're a Christian. Guilty. Right? That means I'm to love you. That's the only way. It's not I'm trying to argue and be smarter. I'm here to love you. Here to love you. 40, any man will sue thee at the law, take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. When you go to court, you go to win, right? We're there to win. Nobody wants to lose. Nobody wants to call the loser. Like, you just don't care about that stuff. Pilate tries him, and he says nothing. That's how much he cares about it. It's not about that. It's not, wait, you want my coat? Here's my cloak. Here's everything. Here's my covering. Here's my protection. How vulnerable are you when all your protection's gone? Can't keep myself warm. I can't cover myself. If any of it was any kind of armor, it's all anything that was in it. Here it is. I'm exposed. That's the idea. He wants you exposed. He wants you to be vulnerable. He wants you. Most people won't. Because you've been vulnerable before and you got hurt. Young people, when they're messing around and they say, well, I like this girl, exposing your heart to somebody when you shouldn't be, and you get it hurt. And then you get somebody and you're trying to help them and they're in a relationship or their marriage is struggling. Say, well, what's the deal? Well, I made myself vulnerable then and I got hurt and I definitely don't want to make myself vulnerable. You're supposed to give your heart to your spouse and to God. You're supposed to do that. Say, well, it feels like they're holding back. Yeah, they are! Because they're exposing their heart to somebody in for a relationship they shouldn't have been doing. But to God, he says, wow, we expose our heart to God. God says, let me. And you got to trust God. You have to trust God. You expose it. God will. He's going to be with you. Yes, you're going to get hurt. Yes, you're going to be vulnerable. Yes, you're going to cry. Yes, you're not going to understand. Yes, it's going to be hard. Nobody wants to sign up for that until you can see the result and say, what's the desire here? That all men, right? And all women could hear the gospel. That all men could be saved. That they'd have at least the opportunity to reject the Lord Jesus Christ. And we don't want them to do that, but that at least they'd have a chance to not choose Him. And you get out and you just love and you love and you love. And it's not easy because, again, you're going to get hurt in this thing. So 40 doesn't want you to defend in yourself, verse 40. I mean, Romans chapter 6. If we're dead to self, where in there do we turn around and defend ourselves? You know, he used to preach a message to the teenagers to defend in the pile of dirt that you are. You're just a pile of dirt. Now, that's not very nice, preacher. I believe if we go in the grave today and open up those coffin lids, we're not going to see anything too pretty. It's going to be kind of, ooh, this kind of, the Bible says dust. Are we going to defend the dirt, or are we going to serve God? What are we going to do? Verse 41, whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Most of us, we teach this Sunday school, and I'm so thankful for our Sunday school teachers. And you teach the little kids this and say, boy, that's a custom back in the day. And if a Roman came up to a Jew and said, man, I want you to pack on my stuff, it was their obligation to do that. And they probably were ornery about it. Could have been. They said, you know, I'm waiting for this one Jew because I'm just waiting for he ain't learned his lesson yet. And I got my finger on him, and I'm gonna we talk about the real racism. Amen. Real racism. It's getting thrown around. They're called water race. I mean, it's just you throw words around, cheapen them, and they don't mean anything at all. And so you can never say, "Riff, I'm going to teach that guy." That guy, he hasn't learned his lesson. I'm going to make him pack. I'm going to sit and wait for him because I know he's coming by. I'm going to make him pack my stuff. I'm going to pick his stuff up and pack it, and I got to go. And Jesus didn't come to take the Romans out of authority. That wasn't the idea. There's some people hoping for that, right? They're saying, "Oh boy, we're going to be freed and we're going to be this." He's like, "No, I came to free your heart." So when that mile marker comes up, you just keep on going, because that's what I would do. Because it's not about packing the stuff. It's not about you and him. It's about his heart. If you don't expose your heart to this person, how are they ever going to hear? You get to that mile marker and you, there you go, out of here. I'm done. I don't have to do anymore. I don't have to do anymore. I don't have to. I don't have to. And it's not about have to. When it comes to serving God, it's a want to. It changes your heart. It all turns into want tos. Like, I mean, can I have it? Can I try it? Brother Ross, he's so funny. Brother Ross, he just, man. We don't go to men's retreat just to laugh, but the merry heart doeth good like a medicine. We at least minor on that at men's retreat, I think. We try. For that. Oh, brother, he's talking about his, he wrote a book. We taught at men's Sunday school. And I actually have copies of these downstairs. Remind me, I'll get a copy of this, Biblical Masculinity that Brother Ross wrote. There's a handful of them here. And I taught it, well, people were asking me, you need to write a book for women, you know, biblical femininity. And he's like, "No, absolutely not. I'm not a woman. So he finally got enough pressure, and he told his wife, he's like, I'm gonna do the Bible part, but I need you to fill in all the girl stuff. You need to fill all this stuff in." So he said he made the comment that he really believes in, you know, communication in marriage. I mean, we know communication is strong in marriage. So he said football season was just getting ready to start. He said, "Now listen, football season's just getting ready to start. If you got anything you need to say for the next 5 months, let me know now." You know, he's real funny. Oh man, and it was just funny. He said, "I think she came to me and asked, but I don't remember. I think it was, you know, he just, you know, like guys are, you know, you're sitting there fixated on something that doesn't matter, and you're watching. Yeah, sure, go ahead." Well, anyways, this book comes back with a ladies' book. Biblical Femininity by Jerry Ross. His name wasn't supposed to be on it. It was supposed to be her name. And so he's getting calls from women around the country. "Preacher, your insight into femininity is just amazing. You really helped me." He got picked on all the camp. But Mercy, we talk about having a merry heart and a want to. And he said when he was in Bible college, he said, "We need somebody to go preach at this nursing home. Who wants to go?" He said, "I'll do it. What do you know about the nurse?" "Nothing." He said, "All right, you're the guy. We need a bus captain or whatever. Who will go do it?" "I'll do it. What do you know about it?" "Nothing," right? But when Jesus changes our hearts, the have-tos all turn into want-tos and hope-tos. And you let God shape you. And this is the hard part as a teenager. You're a teenager and you get your heart worked on, and your have-tos turn into want-tos, and then you get around some have-tos, young people, and they beat you down. They make fun of you because you got a want-to attitude, and the have-tos look at it, it's like, "Oh, you're one of, you know." And you have your heart right, and they start working on you and mocking you for that, and then you get stuck, and you're like, "I don't even know really if I want to anymore," because the have-to people get a hold of you. They get around you, and they start talking in your ear, and they start changing you. Jesus wants you to want to. You don't have to know everything. He'll help you. Learn what you need to know. He's like, "I don't know how to do that." He'll help you. He knows all things. I know He knows all things. I'm convinced He knows all things. When stuff's broken, I just look. I said, "God, I don't know this stuff. But You know all things. You know this." Brother Jesse, he helped me get a one nut out of my truck engine. When was that? That was this fall. I mean, as soon as it fell down in there, I was just like, oh, my soul. You know, the Cummins engine's made to run on diesel. It's pretty impressive. I mean, it's they knew what they were doing when Mr. Diesel put that thing together, or Mr. Cummins put it together. He knew what was going on. It's not made to run on 9/16-inch nuts. It's just not. And it's got to come out of there. I said, Lord, you know. I mean, you know where it's at. I'm looking in there, and I can't see it. And praise God for Brother Jesse. I praise God for smart people. And I was just like, oh, my soul. You know, it only cost me donuts, praise God. And I was like, man, a different story. But, man, I was excited. But I prayed and I said, God, you know where this crazy thing's at? You know. I'm learning the lesson somewhere in this thing. I know I will. And, Lord, help me. Oh, I don't know how I'm going. Why do you stop with you? Why don't you go to the one that knows all things? I don't know how I'm going. I don't know how we're going. Is he included in the we're going to? Because he doesn't sit here and say, oh, man, they've got themselves in a real pickle now. Are they going to be on first or second? And they're running them down. And no, we got to trust him. We got to trust him. That was my coat. He told the disciples, don't fill your pockets. Don't get a U-Haul. I mean, they went out minimalists. They had the least. Why? Because the message was what they were carrying. They were meant to take a message, not a bunch of stuff. Whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. What are you going to talk about on that second mile with that person? Right? How many people in our lives, the hardest people, say, oh, those people, you have to keep going back and help them. You're like, oh, my soul. Right? And go on. Men's retreat. You go up, you never know what you're going to expect. First year, the water broke at our house. We didn't have any water for 11 days. The next year, the water line in the church broke. And we come in Sunday morning, the nursery's full of water, and the kitchen's got water in it. You're thinking, and my wife says, going out the door, what do you think's going to happen this year? I said, I drove all the way in here and knocked on the button. No, I did not knock on the window, told me. But anyhow, I said, I don't know. I have no idea. What's that? Nah, yeah, mercy. It was a good week. We get up there, and there's a gentleman there. Only the Lord. I mean, know where Victory Bible Camp's at. You're on the way up. See the sign? We're up in the mountains. I mean, I don't know what people think who've never gone, and you're just like, come with us. We're going to go this place. Where are they taking us? You know, out in the woods to finish us off or wherever, but... We get up in there, and it never fails. Somebody's there that I least expect to see. Like, I would never, I got there one year, there was a missionary from Eltopia. Eltopia was, whatever, 10 miles north of Pasco. Just, I walk in, I'm like, what are you doing here? I get up there this year, there is a dad of young people I taught in the Christian school. Struggle with substance abuse, just struggling. Had a accidental shooting accident, and he is at rock bottom trying to get his life turned around. And a preacher told him, get to the men's retreat in Alaska. Didn't know anything about it. Trusted. Bought a ticket. Had no ride. Called Pastor Duffett. Jumped in with somebody. Gets up here. And I sit in the there was an RU session. One of the men from Rockford came up, and he was just talking about RU chapters and Reform is Unanimous that deals with addictions and stuff. They have Friday night meetings, and it's just a great ministry. But they said, man, if you want to come to this RU session and listen about how to do RU, and the church we came from had RU, and I knew a lot about RU, knew a lot about the curriculum things. And I'm in there, and the brother's finishing up, and the man raised his hand, can I say something? And... Scott Tucker, he's behind me, couldn't believe it. And he said, I've hit rock bottom. He said, I got full alcohol. I said, I was messing around with a gun and I accidentally shot myself. And that bullet bounced around in here and come out. And he said, I'm willing to let God try to, you know, work in my, and I just like, I was just. Amen. His kids are some of the greatest kids, hardworking kids. And I just told him, I dropped him off yesterday. I said, Brother Dave, I got one guy that goes to Anchorage. And I said, Brother Dave said, I ain't ever going to Anchorage again. He said, I went to Cabela's, went to checkout, had his stuff, had his money in hand. They said, you got to put your mask on to pay. He said, but keep it. I'm out of here. But anyway, he's like, I need somebody to take him to the airport. And I said, who is it? He says, like, it's Scott Tucker. He's like, oh man, I said, I'll take him. So only the Lord knows. Only the Lord knows. And Brad Ohl and Leon Groff are working with him. Leon Groff is just an animal when it comes to hunting men. And Leon Groff is not a physical. He's an old man. He's beat up. He hobbles around. I wouldn't mess with him for nothing. He'd kill me. But I just unbelievable. And Scott said, yeah. Leon called me and he said, get to Missoula and he said, you call me when you get there. Tell me what hotel you're in. Tell me what room you're in. He calls and leaves a message because Brother Leon didn't pick up. Sure enough, an hour later, knock on his hotel door. It's Leon. This here making sure you're doing right. Just making sure you're doing good. And then he said he showed up again at midnight. And knock on, just making sure you're doing right, brother. And you look at this second mile stuff. Why would you go a second mile? You know? Why would you go a second mile? Why would you do it? You going to do it for the person that told you you had to so they're impressed? You going to do it without anybody asking you so you can impress yourself? Or are you willing to just go? No mile markers. Let's just go. I'm not watching the road. I'm listening to this person. How long? When would you give up? You're on your way to heaven. You've trusted Christ as your Savior. You're on your way to heaven. God wants us to share the gospel with people. He wants us to work with people. He wants us to help. Where's your limit? Where's Jesus' limit? We're in Hebrews, Wednesday nights. Bible said, taste of death for every man. Once for all. Gave it for everybody. Every sin. Every last one. Talking to Brother Warren, there's some hard things out in the village. There's some hard things. Hard things. Stuff like I can't. I'm just hard. First time I saw tobacco stuck to a ceiling in the high school, I said, what is that? What is that? I was so naive. I get to college and think, what? What? I didn't know. Hard things. Hard things. But hey, that's the person in the hard things. Scott talked about some of his young people, his kids, going through the same things that he's gone through. And just calling them up, saying, Dad, I love you. I know where you're at. I was there. I was sitting in the floor of the house, and I was in no good shape. And I said, things got to change. Things got to change. Better walk with them. It's hard. People look at, sometimes you get a Sermon on the Mount and say, oh man, I got to do that. I have to have. No. It's a want to. It's a want to. It's hard. Well, why can't they just, what? Reform? Make the flesh better? You know how dumb that sounds? We preach the Spirit. We want them to fix up the flesh so they don't bother us. It doesn't work. Oh, just get better in the flesh so you're not so annoying. And then when you succeed, man, we can look good because it was of the ministry and the Lord worked in it. Get out and get dirty. I mean, you're going to smell some stuff. You're going to see some stuff. You're going to, I just remember the college dorm room, first time I ever smelled anything close to marijuana. I said, what in the world? I mean, my teammates knew what it was. What is that? You know, pretty soon there's, the campus police. I'm like, what is that? Like, I'm not just night. I don't know. I don't know. So I don't get to you. I say, hey, you need help. You're controlled by this thing. God wants to control you, but you're controlled by the flesh. Are we going to quit after a mile? Are we going to quit after 2 miles? Are we going to quit after a year? Are we going to quit after two? Man, Brother Ross, he talks so much about, he said, walking by the quitting places. They walk by so many quitting places. It's amazing, right? I mean, you're going in life like, done. I'm done. Talk to Brother Cliff Henry. He's up in Delta. He's been in Delta for our preacher like 20. His testimony is pretty amazing. Brother Cliff Henry, he pastors up. I said, Brother, you work for the post office? He's a UPS delivery man. That's what he does. And he was helping in Anchorage, and he came up and he's helping a pastor. He said, well, this pastor got sick, and he basically got told, you're the pastor now. And so he started doing it. He said it was just a lot all at once. And then he said, Brother, I got to where I was preaching and preparing sermons. I really liked it. And then the pastor that he went to help got better and came back and said, "You're out now." I was like, "Oh no, what do I do?" And started praying about where to go. And God put him up in Delta Junction. You got to go to Delta Junction. You don't just accidentally end up there. I found out. I mean, you got to go to be there and want to be there and to stay there. And you were sharing yesterday morning about, you know, like us, they got the military up there, got four groups. He said, "Man, we had a great group. They all shipped out." It was a crusher. That's hard. We're blessed here, man. I mean, people come in and we're blessed. And just talks about walking past those quitting places, right? Second mile, third mile. Even when the person you're trying to help quits, you can't quit. There's just no, God doesn't give us outs as a disciple. You're a disciple and you're a parent. He never gives you an out for not helping your family and your kids. He never gives you one. There's none in there. "And I just gave up." That's you. That's not God. When people say, "Oh, God gave up." No, sir. I won't listen to that. Chapter and verse, please. Chapter and verse, please. You show me where the Savior of the world gave up on you. I said, "You're full of the devil's lies. You're wrong. He never gave up on you. You got that close and you walked away because that sin had such a grip on you. And when it comes to the light, it wants to run like a roach and hide. Give me a break." God never quit on you. And then we go back to smiling and trying to help him again. But I can't handle that. "Oh, God quit on..." No, he didn't quit on his soul. He didn't quit on anybody. He didn't quit on anybody. 42. "Give to him that asketh thee." There could be a period there, but there's not, right? There's a comma. "From him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away." My only one. You know who's used to giving the only one? The Lord is. I'm giving Jesus. He's my only one. Right? See the Old Testament type in Isaac? He's the only one. My only begotten. God is a giver. He's not a terrorist. He's not somebody that is coming. "God took everything from me. God took..." He wants you to give yourself to Him. He wants you to give your heart to Him. He's a giver. So what do you think he's going to ask of us to give? Think about this. How many here say God's blessed you in your life? God's blessed you in your life. God's given to you in your life. So if God's given to you and God asks you to give somebody else, is that strange that he would do such a thing? The Bible talks about in Romans reasonable service. Yeah. From the Lord. Here you go. God gives to me. I mean, I don't pray for our government to come up with some scheme to give to me. Lord, help us. Brother Johnson hit on that. That was good. He could have hit on that some more. Hey, I'll just tell you right now, if you are in support of people sitting at home because they make more money sitting at home than work, you're not for us. You're not for God. You're not for the Bible. You're not for that is not what God had in mind. We work. We work whether we're getting paid or not. We're not socialists. We don't go and pretend to work and pretend to have the government to pay us. It doesn't work that way. God says you need to work. It's work helping people. It's work doing ministry. It's work just living. Well, I'm just going to say, no. We got to walk. We got to go. We got to go that distance with these people. We have to help them. We have to give to them. I have the same thoughts in my mind, right? You pull up, guys hold the cardboard sign and say, "Do we give? Do we not give?" And I don't give more than I do give. I'll just tell you right now. But if I have something, I usually will give it. I've been turned down before because what I wanted to give wasn't what they wanted. I'm like, okay, right? Here we go. But if somebody asks and you have it, "Lord, would you save me?" I'll think about that. He's a giver. The Bible says Anon. They use the word Anon. A-N-O-N. Means immediately. And when Peter started to sink, when he took that step out of the boat, the Bible says immediately when he asked God to reach out and help him. Well, are you really ready to change? Are you really going to change this time? Or are you just playing with me? Because I've had enough. It's not about us. It's not about us. You told God you'd put your heart out there and let him stamp it to dust. You said you'd have a contrite spirit, because that's where God dwells, is people of a contrite and humble spirit. That's where he dwells. I want to dwell with the Lord here. I want to walk with him here. It's a mountaintop victory. All right. No, it's not. It's going through the valley, in the valley of the shadow of death, and walk with all these people. There's more hard times than good times, but hey, it's okay, because Jesus is there. That's the blessing. I can go, because I know he's there. It's going to be tough. It's going to be hard. I'm not going to understand. I'm not going to know the answers. I'm going to say, but God knows these things. He knows these things. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. I try to give as much as I can. When I'm talking about giving, I'm talking about like comparison to borrowing. It's like, now here, take it. You know, this isn't a loan. This isn't not here. This is for you. You take this thing. Now, you've really got to decide whose stuff your stuff is. Is it God's? Or is it yours? Because if it's yours, you're going to have a hard time doing that. Because you say, this is, I own this. Now, no, it's God's. It's the Lord's. We brought nothing in. We take nothing out. There you go. It's a blessing. The book says it's more blessed to give than to receive. Oh, it's just a Christmas verse, preacher. You're way out. You're months off. You know, you're way out of season for that one, you know. I don't know. Give it. Watch it go. Some of the littlest things that I promise you, your mind is not a steel trap. You'll forget you even gave those things. But you blessed somebody in a way that you'll never know because you let go of something, some material thing. It was going to help somebody. So just give it. Give it to them. A heart that is willing to give. Verse 43, we're getting close here today. You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor, and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. People miss this verse. People, Christians don't like this verse. This verse, how most 90% of Christianity takes this, is I got to be really strong in the flesh to make this work. No, you don't. I said, you want to get used to being persecuted? Pray for the people that are hurting you. God does something when you obey the Bible. This man alive, it's a pray for. I never. Okay. God does. God does. God wants them to get saved. They're full of the devil. Oh, I want to fight the devil, Brother Keith, and I want to go. Pray for your enemy. Pray for this person that's opposed to you. Now, I try not to have enemies. But most of the enemies, just the ones in Scripture, the devil's our adversary. There's a lot of ideology that I wish I could kill it. But I'm smarter than that to know, look, you can't kill ideas just like Christians. Somebody else is going to pick it up and go with it. And I'm not out to eliminate. That's what we're in now, the culture of, oh, I'm just going to cancel this person out so nobody hears. But you've never taken anything from them. You've taken away one of their abilities to get the word out. Right? That's it. Idea is still there. It's still there. It's still one that they have. Love your enemies. Love your enemies. Now, it would be difficult if we looked and we saw this, like, well, he did it first. He did it first. You know what's tough about how the Lord did it? He loved those that were enemies of his, even out of his own house and his own people. You think if anybody would love him, would be the people closest to them? No. Well, I'll come if they love me. Think he'd have come? He came unto his own. See ya. I'm out. Nobody loved me. Nobody willing to receive me. So you got to get in there. We're telling some guys, you know, that brother talked about the village. I said, brother, you just can't just show up. I said, some of these places, you can't just show up. Oh, I'm here. No, you're not. You know, shove your boat off the bank. And you can't just show up. You got to have somebody there. They don't want you there. Well, I want to be. They don't want you there. You still won't be there? Well, I really thought that everybody wanted to hear the gospel. You got to really figure out, as a disciple, I love the Lord above all things. And if nobody, you talk about being isolated, being out there, and everybody will not want you there. We don't want you here. And just sticking with it. Because the book doesn't fail. Well, the Bible says love doesn't fail. Charity fails not. It suffereth long and it's kind. And it keeps going and it keeps going and it keeps going. There's no excuses. There's no time to turn back. There's only you quitting. That's it. You got to keep walking and go past those places where you'd quit. So I'm just going to keep going. I'm going to keep trusting. I'm going to keep putting my heart out there. So I gave it to God to see these people come to Christ. I'm so thankful for the people in my life that put their heart out there and were vulnerable to me, that gave me the chance to learn from them, to glean from them, to mature as a Christian, and they took that chance on me. I could turn to junk tomorrow and walk, you know, all that, and like, oh man, you're about Brother Garner, man, it's terrible and all. The idea is I'm not beholden to the people that taught me. I'm beholden to the Lord. And because of that, I'm going to continue. And then those people that helped me said, all right, that's good. It's not because people that help you are going to die. That's just how it is. Some of the men that have already trained me are dead. They're already with the Lord. And that doesn't determine whether they say, well, I'm going to keep going as long as they're alive. What is it that's going to keep you following Him? It's going to be your heart turned so that you can do it. It's one of the toughest passages. We're going to quit here, but it's one of the toughest chunks of Scripture if you're looking at it from the worldly Christian fleshly side. I have to love my enemy. Are you kidding me? I got to pray for people that persecute me? Well, who's left? Who's left? I mean, think about it. You pray for your friends. They're your friends. I pray more for people that, you know, when you look at it, you think about, man, who do I pray for? I just pray for the people I pray for. I pray for a lot of people I just don't know. Like, I've never met them. I don't know. I have no idea. I pray for people that they don't think like me. I pray for people that are against the Word of God. And we do this and I'll look and say, man, this person is my enemy. I don't know if you have enemies today. I don't know. I try not to make any. It's tough. Sometimes, boy, you just, poof, I don't like what you're saying. I don't like this idea. It's hard sometimes, you're a young Christian, to get somebody cursing and swearing and take the Lord's name in vain, talking bad about church, or people go to church, and you just want to just fight. You're just like, don't talk about me that way. No. It's just devil talking out of them. It's just devil talking out of them. I said, you got to show Jesus to them. Devil run, you show Jesus shows up. The devil always runs when Jesus shows up. But boy, you get full of flesh, it's no different than having the devil show up. Nothing happens for God. Nothing happens for God. We don't see these people changed. We don't see this person. Now you've spent all this time, you go in there and you take their stuff and throw it. There you go. There's your mile. Done. You didn't pass. You didn't pass. You're going to have to do that again tomorrow. Oh, my soul. That's terrible. You know, I didn't pass. I didn't run it fast. I didn't do it right. I didn't whatever. Our hearts have to be right. You go round and round in Christian school and I tell kids, look, it's your heart. Hearts. It's just such a thing. Oh, I'm against this and I don't like this and structure and rules. And that. It's your heart. Once you see that these things are all there to help you, it's your heart. All the have-tos turn into want-tos and you want to do it. I love being around young people that want to help. Or to help their parents, or to help their, or to pile them up at camp, and I love it. You know, it's interesting. You get around kiddos, and man, hey, what are you up to? What are you doing? Oh man, I'm doing. They're industrious. They're doing things. It's not. Oh, I have to. No, God changes it in there, and you want to do it. How are we ever going to reach these people? I mean, now think about this, and we're done. Brother Ross said it is impressive that at the end of the church age, God's left us. He's left us in charge. He trusts us enough to carry on in the ministry here at this time. Okay? Now I'm going to break it down a little bit more. He's left us responsible for the ministry and the work in Alaska. By ministry standard, it's a tough place. It's tough. It's hard. We're spread out. We're doing all, but hey, he must say, not in the flesh now, but he says, hey, with me, this can be accomplished. With me, this can be done. And brother, I think about people, if this one person would trust Christ, if Nancy Pelosi somehow, some way, could trust the Lord. Do you know how much influence these people have? Oh, my soul. Oh, I can't say. Oh, man, I'm big. I'm there. I have those days. Like, God, help her soul. Help her. She's going to die a lost Catholic lady. She's going to. I see no religion in their life, but like what we see. I see no religion in their votes, what we see. And I'm glad they're getting pressure from their churches. I'm glad they're getting some of that. But if they could be turned, who's going to help them? Who's going to pray for them if it's not us? Conservative base that doesn't know the Lord. No, we want them gone. We just want them gone. They're a soul. God wants them won. Walk past that quitting place. And let's continue to put our heart out there for God. Go, oh, boy, he's going to hurt it. And I'm going to, yeah. Yeah. But there's the Scott Tuckers in life. Takes them a few years, but here they come. And because you loved them and he didn't say, don't come back, you know, you just keep going. I gave you a shot. They said, boy, and he told me this. He said, you know what, brothers? You know what Leon says every time I go to leave? I said, I know what he says. He says the same thing to me. He says, I love you. I love you. I gave Warren Compton 2 hugs, preacher, because he's a hugger. So I gave Warren Compton a hug. I hugged him when I saw him. I hugged him when he left. I said, Brother Warren, I don't hug most men, but I hug you just so you know. He's my Eeyore friend, and I love him to death. But you tell people, I love you, and mean it. You're not worried about what the world says. The world's taking that out of context. Oh, whoa, you love another man? Whoa, I don't care. I don't care. Dave Duffett can look at somebody and say, I love you, brother. I love you too, man. I'd have left my stuff at Cabela's too. Put your mask on, you know. It's okay. Somebody say, I love you. Those are words maybe they've never heard from their own father. They've never heard from their own grandparents. They've never heard from a school teacher. I've told, I don't say it all the time, but I've told a few kids. I had a kid this year, he got hurt. As soon as I saw him fall, I said, oh, Lord, he broke his shoulder. He's a senior. He's done. That's his last play. That was like the first thing that went through my mind. And he's crying. He's sitting over on the bench. And I just went over and I said, Mike, I love you, buddy. I love you, man. I said, I don't know what God's going to do with them, but I know if I love them, it's going to be good. I know that you can't do that in the flesh. You either walk with Jesus and have his footprints in your life and in the ministry things, or it's all you, it's all the flesh, it's all these things. You manipulate people and you try to get people to change these things. It's not going to work. You have to love them. It's got to be raw. You're going to get hurt. It's going to happen. I tell you, but the reward is there. And then the results are there. Let's stand this morning. Number 9 this morning. Lord Jesus came to die on the cross to forgive us our sins, that we could help others. We could preach this message of salvation. If you've never received it yourself, it's what you need. It's your greatest need. What we had asked Brother Warren what his greatest need was in his work. A person without Christ, the greatest need is salvation. You can't do any of this stuff without the Lord. So, well, I'm going to try. No, you can't. You need to receive Christ. You need to humble yourself to his righteousness and receive him. And if there is a person in here that needs to do that, you can come forward and get me, and I will help you to see that. I'll show you from the Word of God. I'll also stand back at that door as we leave today and say, Preacher, I need to talk to you. There's an office right in here, and we can go in there. We'll be here till the last person about leaves. We want people to know the end's coming. I mean, I'm excited for it. Think about heaven. I get excited. There's a work to do. I want to work right up to the end. Number 9, room at the cross for you.